The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Hello, everyone. This is Daniel Glenn, and welcome to the 365 Message Center show, where we help you understand all of the updates that are coming that have been announced in the Message Center to Microsoft 365 and help you prepare for those changes and know what you need to communicate to your users. We're not going to be able to demonstrate everything, right, Daryl? Because, well, not everything's released yet, but we're going to talk about it.
We are going to talk about it. Taking on the feedback of the many comments and listeners that we get back. We could just about do listener mail now. Moving along. Starting out with cybersecurity training or awareness training for end users. MC212675. Quite an interesting one.
Very much so.
Yeah. You looked into some of these things a bit closer. What are we seeing here?
Well, this is... I think it's a great thing. Microsoft's providing security training on three different kind of trainings. One is mass phishing training, and that's PH phishing, protecting your home computer and privacy. The way they're going about it is fishy. The way they're going about it, though, is interesting. They're providing the training for a few months here. So definitely, I think you should enable this for your users, but we'll talk about that in a second. But they're providing it through the security site, so security.microsoft.com. So it's kind of odd that they're doing it this way. They do provide a way to download it, and there's some instructions in the message about how you enable this on-prem, for instance, in a regular IIS website, which is the web server in Windows.
Does everyone still remember what that is?
I do. But here's the thing. In the message, it also says your users, anyone who has a Microsoft 365 license, should be able to play it via the links that are in the message. But just be aware that I think you should try it out as a user. What happens if a user gets this link? What is their experience so that you can prepare your users? You could also, I think my suggestion, Daryl, though, is maybe incorporate this with your other training and maybe even your Learning Pathways site. That's probably where I would go try to incorporate this with Learning Pathways so that, remember, getting your users in one spot, to get training. But I'm kind of liking this training to provide it for your users.
Well, when we click through together, what was the first comment I made here? It was, okay, so this is the training. We didn't mention, too, it's in partnership with a company called Terra Nova. So this is where Microsoft didn't develop the training, but they are exposing it in their environment. So you click on through here, and you'll see the security center. It'll expose that. You can start it. You can go through it. But my question is, there's other stuff here which alerts, reports. I think individuals can get to that secure score thing and see the score of their own security. But do they need to see all this other stuff to get there? So I like your idea, Daniel. Take the links. As long as you're authenticated as a Microsoft 365 user, then it's a good place to expose it in Learning Pathways.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it another way is if you download it and it includes the videos, maybe upload the videos yourself into your own video service. But I don't like that because now it's kind of like when we do document versions, right? If they update this training in the future, maybe there's an issue and they update the videos and all that, then now you've circumvented that and you have your own version. So I would prefer you to keep it on their service, but just get your users the links. But again, try it out yourself first as a user, rather not as an admin privileges, but with your regular user. You do have separate use accounts, right? One for admin and one for user. Okay, good. So use your regular user
account.
Yes, I saw everyone's heads were nodding.
What they did was they raised hands. I'll just click that on there. Yeah, does that work?
Nice.
That works, yeah, that's good.
Okay. Nice.
Raised hand, lowered hand. Next update is a change in pace to updates within Microsoft 365 for Enterprise. So new update channel available, changing update channel default for new tenants and existing update channel changing names. So that's three updates in the title, MC212678. All about the pace at which you receive changes to Microsoft 365, not just Office, but the service itself. First of all, introducing a new channel called Monthly Enterprise Channel, which is effectively you're receiving your updates monthly as an enterprise, but you're getting it on a Tuesday, the patch Tuesday, once a month.
Yeah, if you weren't confused earlier, before, by the different names, Insider all the way up to standard releases and all, if you weren't confused before, you will be now.
I've extinguished Insider from my brain because, look, now it's called Beta Channel. Back to what most of us think of.
Yes. Insider is now Beta Channel.
Beta. Let's call the thing off.
Monthly channel, that phrase is now replaced by current channel. So monthly channel targeted is now current channel preview. Anyway, lots of renaming here.
I want monthly. Monthly in my name.
Well, then you get a monthly and you get a monthly.
But
so, the monthly universe channel is the new one. And really it's the current channel, which is the previous monthly channel. Have we confused you yet? The monthly enterprise channel is the new channel. It's going to be basically the monthly channel. You're getting updates every month, but in the future, you're going to have greater insight as to what is in the update, and it will arrive on patch Tuesday with every other patch. So, on patch Tuesday, remember to, don't do anything important because everybody's downloading all the patches. But so that's the new one. For our admins and those that are planning for this change, I think just remember starting on June 9th is when this all happens. And we have less than a month. The making sure that you understand what these new release cycles are and where you want to be in your organization. So that's the importance here, I think.
Not changing it for existing tenants, changing it for new tenants, and just step back and think about the options. All right. In line with that update, there are updates for Office Pro Plus. So update available for Pro Plus on all channels, MC212684. And that's your usual kind of monthly stuff. Always appreciate that they've got a landing page which shows you what changed and what's happened in one place. You're making our job easier. Office on the desktop.
Yay.
Awesome. Next one is about, we've got questions on this one. New feature, auto claim policy for products containing Microsoft Teams. MC212697. If you haven't licensed someone for Teams, you can set up a policy so that when they sign in for the first time, they'll get that license. Why?
Because everyone wants to be on Teams, and even Teams want you to be on Teams.
But wouldn't I script that in? If I'm allowing you to sign in, I've got full control of this. Why would I just allow that as an auto claim?
Well, maybe you are not liking scripting. You want to, maybe you don't like doing things that way, and you want just the service to do it for you.
Okay. So I have got a license for you people. I want you to use Teams. I haven't quite got it ready yet, but when I have, you can sign in and you'll get that license. But don't do it yet. Never mind. Anyway, this is a feature that clearly has a use case somewhere. I haven't really picked it up from the message, but it is not enabled by default. And if you want to use it and you can see sense in it, tell us in the comments. I guess this is just not my day job, but I'm sure it'll be useful somewhere. Definitely to bolster the use of Teams, or rather, products containing Teams. Available.
Good job.
End of July. Yeah. Ba-da-ba-da. Nice. Right. This one is just an update of an update. The old thing that we're renaming stuff again because it's not Flow, it's Power Automate. MC2 8356, and the update is on the 13th of May, given that the update was first on the 1st of April, we are now pleased to share this change is now rolled out completely.
So you should not see Flow anywhere, or you will see Flow because flows are the individual things, but Power Automate replaces the Flow designation when you're selecting from menu bars and such.
Yep. Automate and Power Automate. Still create a flow, but you know it's automate that flow.
Correct.
Done. How about this one? Like, I honestly I didn't look closely at the updates throughout the week, and it kind of like what? It arrived. Must have got a whole lot of protests or something, and then boom, there's an update for this update already. So update to the new feature Cortana briefing email. Cortana, hey Cortana, MC212676. That was not a Sean Connery. Hey Cortana, hey Cortana. No, stop right there. What is Cortana briefing emails? What are they?
Well, this is bringing AI into your mailbox. That's why
get
I'm
out, get out. I don't want you there.
No, we, yeah, well, it is really. This briefing email gives you insights into meetings and et cetera from your environment, you. It's personalized for you. So if you think about the analytics we've talked about before, of if you've got getting those analytics emails saying, you know, about your calendar and downtime and such, then this is similar, I would kind of in that category of an auto-generated briefing email from Cortana, and it just getting those understanding your task and your meetings and kind of giving you an understanding of what's coming on. We don't have a great I don't think we have a full picture of exactly what the email is going to look like. There is if you follow that link, it does show you the first briefing and that kind of thing, but it doesn't really give you exactly what these are going to look like from a weekly kind of basics or a daily basis. You can unsubscribe. So if you receive one of these and you don't want it, you can unsubscribe, as well as this could be disabled by an admin. However, an exchange online admin, however, it appears. Now, I haven't done it yet and I haven't, you know, done all the work because we don't have it yet. But it appears that you have to do it per user disabling. Maybe there's a tenant-wide, you know, disabling if you want to do that. But it really appears like example at the very bottom to disable it shows it doing it for one user, which is odd, I think.
Yeah, I think it's one of those commands where it'll be get user list. Run it for each, whatever. But yeah, just interesting that the update came out and then it wasn't clear enough to admins how to turn it off because they want to turn it off. Yeah, so it rounds up your day, tells you what tasks you've got. It is actually triggered by a task. If it doesn't have a task, if it doesn't see that there's a task assigned in your task list, then it's one of those things where it's not going to turn up. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you, AI, for telling us what's coming in our day. Thank you, Cortana. Mm-hmm. I got this one, Daniel. I don't know if you had any Power BI maintenance, but it's on its way. Power BI maintenance MC213316. We don't see a lot of these because a lot of the services in Microsoft 365 don't really need to have a dip or an outage. We're actually not seeing them anymore for Yammer. So that's one we saw a lot. But here it is for Power BI starting May 21st.
Yep.
For a brief period of time. There'll be an outage and there'll be some maintenance. So have a look into that.
Next up.
Take our it title. Away, Daniel.
This is MC213330. Invite a group or distribution list to a Teams meeting. Yes. Can I just, I just want to say that, and then I'm going to say yes. So when scheduling a meeting in Teams, this is mid-May, which it was announced May 15th, and then it's rolling out mid-May.
Yes.
That's a lot of notice there, Teams group. We appreciate that in sarcasm. So when scheduling a meeting in Teams, you'll be able to invite both distribution lists and modern groups. This is Microsoft 365 groups to and as well as individuals, of course, to a Teams meeting. This is fantastic. This has been an ask from many of my clients when onboarding them to Teams. They're like, oh, great. I can just invite this group to it. Nope.
Nope.
Oh, I can invite this distribution list because that's what we've been using for meetings in Outlook for the from the beginning of Exchange forever. Nope.
No.
But now you can. And so, I mean, this is great. I'm loving it because this really brings the scheduling all together so that I can schedule this meeting. I can do it in Teams. I don't have to do it in Exchange, you know, in Outlook and play around with it. I can do it within my team's experience. So,
and that was the point, wasn't it? It's like, I can't do this in Teams, and that's where I'm trying to develop this new behavior. So back to Outlook again. Now, sure, that's good that you can do that. You can add a bunch of people in one swoop and invite them to a Teams meeting. When you're doing that from Outlook, you can create a meeting, and I know some Teams people disagree with me. I still call them standalone meetings. When I book it in Outlook, it's its own bubble. It's not associated to a team or anything. It just sits there.
I'll get back to you.
Online meeting. I think the official term is when you are going to create a meeting and you share it into a channel, that's called a channel meeting. It's sharing it into a channel, making it available there, and that's where it's hosted.
Right. Okay.
You can't do that from Outlook. And that was the key thing for me. This is why I picked this as our title for the week, was that's a key scenario that did a video about it a little while ago. That questionable thing of, well, if I create a meeting invite in Teams and I'm trying to invite my team, how do I get that notification to them? Do they all receive this meeting invite? Does this channel meeting actually apply to everyone or not? Do I bother them about it? Well, now, because we can have this this update, this feature, it means that I can turn the, what is it, the mailbox subscription off in the background for Teams so that people aren't getting everything for everything delivered there, including all the updates to planner tasks, by the way. So turn that off because you don't want to spam them. And then you can use this feature to drop in your team into maybe the CC line, finally. I want to carbon copy you in here. You are optional. You are not permanent. You're not required. But it is an option if you want to attend. If not, I'm going to leave that name off the list.
Yeah. So
looking forward to playing this one out in a video.
Yeah. And Sandy is asking in the chat, you still can't add members of a whole group to a team though, right? And
unpacking the group or unpacking the DL?
Right. So she's asking adding it to the team, not to the meeting invite, to the team. And that is my understanding, correct. You can't add a group to a team like that,
without an Office 365 group to a team. No, you can do a DL.
Microsoft 365 group, correct.
Oh,
remember, this show is all about renames, right? So no, you can't. Now, of course, with dynamic group creation, you can do some crazy, wonderful Teams membership things with properties of people and dynamically do it. But no, you can't take groups, Microsoft 365 groups, and add them to Teams like that. So
yep. Short update, but full of impact. Look out for a video eventually when we get that. How about this one? I know this was the second contender for the title this week. I thought this was a big one. New feature: Teams support for SharePoint migration tool, MC213376. Good that we can migrate content from a team to a team, with the SharePoint migration tool, if you're not paying for a third-party thing?
You can't do from team to team.
Oh,
let's be clear. This is only from on-prem This is only from file shares or SharePoint 2010, 13, or 16 on-prem to the cloud.
Okay.
So this actually, I don't know. To me, this is not that big of a deal. I know, don't throw tomatoes at me. Please don't. So first thing I want to mention, though, is published date May 15th. Begin rolling this out. Targeted release early May. So this plays into the chat room. They're going crazy in there about what is mid-May and beginning of May. So here's another one. So they tell us after the fact that it's already started rolling out to targeted release and then standard release customers mid-May. So they're getting it now and should be end of May getting it. But so back to the functionality, you're selecting a team to migrate the content into. Okay, that's great, but it's not really new functionality. I mean, I think it's just another way to get to it, right? Because you're migrating content into a SharePoint site, right? Because that's where storage is.
Yeah.
So I think it's just another way of going. I know that team, and I feel this. I have been onboarding teams for an organization, and at the same time, we are migrating their content from on-prem to the cloud from file shares. And so we're working with migrating content, getting people sync, you know, using the OneDrive sync tool for their personal files. We're migrating their Teams files to their SharePoint site, which is Teamified. I mean, all that, right? So I get this is kind of nice, but it's new functionality, but it's not really putting it in a different place.
But there you go. It's there. It's an option. Make the most of it if that's your thing in your process.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's just putting it in the same place.
New hyperlink and date and time editors. Improved column editing for SharePoint lists and document libraries. MC213422. So when we are working with dates, times, hyperlinks in a list or a library, we've created a column, then we have a different editor. What does that even look like down here? What does it look like? Okay. Contoso, display text and link. Yeah. Date editor. Now am I looking at American dates or not? I'm pretty sure I'm looking at American dates.
Yes, that's American dates.
So there's no 22nd month, is there? Of course not. Yeah, but a new date editor and picker. I'm always looking at these time drop-down boxes because some of these things are ridiculous when you click into it and it's 5-minute increments or 1-minute increments. And I'm thankful that I've got a little mouse here from Logitech that lets me freewheel and go shing, doop, that's where I want to go. And it makes that noise too, by the way. I've programmed it to
great
do that.
Okay, great.
Sorry for people on the podcast list. I held up my mouse and I spun that freewheel.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Logitech is not sponsoring this episode. But, you know, you're welcome to, Logitech. You are. But date ticker, a picker, create a column. It's tidy.
I think the biggest update here, yes, the date picker is great. Sure, columns, wonderful. Great. Thank you very much for the new date picker, for the new URL formatter. Great. I'm not trying to belittle it. The biggest thing for me here is users will be able to create all column types directly from Quick Edit when they're working with their listed SharePoint. That's the biggest thing I think here is that when you're in Quick Edit and you want to create a column, you'll be able to create all of them. So I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Yep. Yeah, especially because you would have been in a position of having to create lists a lot working in Quick Edit, because that's how to get the information in there quickly. Right. So this is available, coming to targeted release in late May, finished by mid-June, then standard release mid-June, and complete by end of July. Cool. Bit of a change here. Next update, feature update, office.com homepage layout and navigation. MC213423. We'll just describe this for the people on the podcast. And yeah, this is what it looks like. Go into office.com. You've got your apps along the top. Yeah, and you've got a bit of empty space there that's wasted, in my opinion. I think I use the waffle more often than anything. But
I do too.
Yeah, we're moving to this new office.com look and feel. The apps will move down the side and kind of
vertically.
Do you mm-hmm. do this with the Surface Pro? Anyone here? Surface Pros? I was fine like with this, the start bar down the bottom right near the keyboard. There's things I want to touch, but because mm-hmm. it's right there, it's just awkward.
Okay.
So I push my start bar either to the top of the screen or to the side. And that's what office.com have done. Apps on the side, more space. You can still use the waffle. I'm sure it's going to come over the top of that. That's about it. It's just a rearrangement on the page.
I agree. I think this is something that I like. You're right. I don't actually often use the big old buttons for the services there. Oftentimes it's something that's hidden for me, and I just have to use the app picker. I think this is great. It's highlighting, it brings that recommended content and your recent and pinned and all that up the page, obviously, because that's been removed for the buttons for the services. So it brings all that up. So it brings focus on that so you can actually see it well. I think it's a great move. Welcomed by me.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of a bland update in that sense, but I often think, well, what is it positioning itself for? Is there something else coming? Probably. Whenever there's
But even if it's just look and feel, I'm all for it because it actually does a good job, I think. I think I like it. Simple, but it's good. Yep.
Targeted release, early June, standard release, mid-June, finished by July, mid-July, mid. Big theme there. You know, it's as if, like, since a lot of us are working from home, it's like, you know, let's just deliver 20 updates every week. Okay, so next one, feature update. Microsoft Search comes to SharePoint and OneDrive. MC213433. The search bar that's in the middle of many of our Office apps now, and is, I think, SharePoint Home. No, not SharePoint Home. Office.com and a few other places. The search bar will be now also within SharePoint and OneDrive.
Yeah, and if you've been on, this is really talking about those that are on standard release. Those for the targeted release, you may have already seen this for quite a while. I've had it for months. This is great having that standard search bar. Loving it.
Still catches people out in Outlook, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they go, I'll go to search for an email and where's the limit? Right. It's in the title bar. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've run into that several times. You're right. Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily say search in there either. Anyway, so there you go. We're just about there with our updates. We have a new feature, Microsoft Teams Room Management within Teams Admin Center. So moving that into the Admin Center, that if you need to make changes to your Microsoft Teams rooms, that's where you'll find them. That's MC213457. Yeah.
This is just about standardization, bringing that in there. This is great. Your room management. So for those devices that are in your meeting rooms, which you're probably not using right now because you're working from home, but you know, those bringing that management in the Teams admin is great.
Hmm. Oh, just going back to that previous update, Dean Gross and Hilda DePoor, having a good conversation there about, you know, we've got search pretty standard across the Office apps. In office.com, SharePoint Online now in OneDrive. How about standardizing it in Teams? Good question. I'll
give it a thumbs up.
Final update for the day, for the week. Personal apps available in Teams mobile client, MC213550. What are personal apps, Daniel?
You need to pay attention to this one, and I want to make sure we say that up front. This is not just something simple, because there is something here that you need to pay attention to as an organization. So this is, you can approve as an admin, you can approve line of business apps, right? So these are those personal apps that will be visible to your users, and then third-party app creators can add those as well. And so when I add those to Teams, it will show up I, as a user, add those, it'll show up in my mobile client. So on my phone or my tablet, the mobile version. So that's cool.
Oops.
That's really cool.
Right? The app tray. That's where we're going to see them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they call it the app tray? Is that what it is? App drawer? There's something. I can't remember the term.
It says app drawer right there at the top.
Yep. App drawer.
I'm just being a New Zealander.
That's okay. The key here, though, I want to make sure everybody understands this, is under that, on that first bullet, if your app, so if you as a business have released a line of business app and released it to users, if your app is not optimized for mobile, you can unpin the app in Teams Admin Center. That's unpin it, period. Mm. So let's be clear. This means you need to get your apps mobile enabled, optimized for mobile, or it's not going to look great at all. Your users are not going to have a great experience with the mobile app, Teams mobile app. What it's saying is, if they're not, maybe go unpin it, which unpins it for everybody everywhere, not just mobile.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. So that the unpinning and pinning is across wherever you're accessing Teams. There isn't an option to say, pin it in desktop, but we're not ready for mobile yet, so let's just leave that unpinned there for now.
Right. I do not think we're able to define that right now because all we have right now is an app status, meaning is it enabled or not? So when you go to configure it, you can allow it or not. So I don't think right now we're able to say mobile or not mobile, which might actually be really cool. You know, I think functionality to say this is the mobile version or whatever. But just if you have these, this is one of those things. Your user experience could be terrible if they're on their mobile device. They access this app you've published and it's not mobile enabled. It could be a terrible experience. It could look great on your desktop, but terrible on the mobile. So pay attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole like pinch zoom thing, like a Power BI dashboard.
Well, that or something, I mean, it could totally not work.
Yeah.
Right. You think about OS, you think about browser. I mean, all of that, it could potentially just not work flat out, crash, who knows, depending on what app it is. So you test it, but realize that this is coming, which I think is a great functionality, bringing it to the Teams mobile. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the positive side. Good to see that you will be able to have more apps within that app drawer. To use from your mobile. Cool. All right. Well, that is the show in terms of updates.
We didn't mention that this is Microsoft Build Week. So we know that everyone is all signed up and registered for Microsoft Build Conference. It's free. It's online. And it starts U.S. time tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. But it's a round-the-world conference. Sessions going throughout the time zones. So they'll be local to your time zone. So jump in there and get registered and add to your schedule, get those things going. There'll be a lot of announcements in the Microsoft 365 space as well. Mm-hmm. We've already got one announcement this week, right, Daryl, around Teams. This was announced in the Microsoft tech communities, right? This was Automate Teams provisioning with the Request a Team app template that was announced this past Friday. So they're going to be releasing a way for you to out of the box request a team app and select templates and be able to then, when you have templates, you can provide the information to ask the users as they go through the process. So I'm sure there will be plenty more updates announced during Microsoft Build.
Definitely. I'm also interested to see, and this is one of the first big conferences that Microsoft's running where it's cloud-powered, what they've chosen for that experience. Do you have any insights in that as attendees are signing up and registering? Is it like a tech community experience where you go to a website and you play a video from the embed and, you know, what does that look
like? I really don't know what the experience will be like. In fact, I'm a little underwhelmed by the communication from the Microsoft bill. I registered last week, so I haven't haven't been registered for many weeks. I registered last week, or maybe the week before. It doesn't matter. And I've gotten a couple emails about, hey, it's coming and stuff like that, but no great information about here's what your experience is going to be. Did get an information, go make your schedule. Okay, great. Like, I can do that. But so the schedule making experience is just like Ignite.
Yep.
If for those that have been going to Ignite, but how we're going to attend, I don't know. Is it going to be a Teams live meeting? Is it going to be some other technology? I do not know.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a bit like, and this would be the natural extension, that you have the tech community and it has its media embedded into each of the sessions within the tech community, and people go there. They can chat in the comments. Yeah. But yeah, it'd be, well, this one I'm interested to see too, because that signals what will be used potentially for partner conference and for Ignite later in the year as well. Always interested to see what sort of experiences people will get now that we're not traveling for now. Thank you everyone to the chat room. That was very lively this morning with lots of thoughts, opinions and chatter.
Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate
podcast
it.
Followers too. We thank you for listening in. And if you're just happening across our content right now, and people still do, you know, they come across it on Twitter and they go, I didn't know this was here, then do subscribe to channels, do subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're a podcast type person, go to messagecenter.show to find all the various ways that you can listen or follow or watch, and we'll help you continue to plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. Catch you later, everyone.
Bye-bye.